Welcome to Business Mentorship, Keeping It Real, where we introduce corporate leaders who have taken the leap to business owner and participate with their great idea in our guest blog found on shareyourstories.online. A returning guest, Debbie Van Griegen, joins us from Low Banks, Ontario, and has built a business with a product that is fair trade, premium organic, and grade A. With a wonderful tagline, spreading the shea butter love, she also gives back to the local community by sponsoring girls' education in Uganda. So let's find out why this business owner is recalibrating her business model to accommodate new lifestyle choices. It's my pleasure to introduce and welcome Debbie Van Griegen.
Hi.
It's so nice to have you with us, Debbie. You were one of the first 100 business owners that shared their story when I started the platform, which is now like 5 years ago, hard to believe. So you've been running a successful business for a number of years. You've been importing your product from East Africa, and you've been giving back to the local community. How have you found things have changed in the last few years?
Yeah, well, big question. A lot has changed. Yeah. Obviously, the past 4 years have been the most challenging years for any small business. And we were especially hit hard with that because most of our products, so we're a natural skincare company, we're importing shea butter from northern Uganda. And so our product was, I had a wholesale model, so I was in stores, and all of those stores had to close down. So we lost all of those orders. So everything that had been pre-ordered, people canceled. And it just took a long time to kind of get back from that.
Yeah.
And then when things did open up again, we saw a noticeable change in purchasing. So our retail outlets were now ordering significantly less because they weren't getting the foot traffic that they had had before. We also had a number of cosmetic companies that use us as a raw ingredient for their products, especially like lipsticks and lip balms, mascaras, things like that, because the shea makes it really super soft.
Yeah, for sure.
And we noticed that, you know, companies that were ordering 40 kilos were now ordering 10. Uh-huh. And we were like, what?
That's a big difference.
It was a huge difference. So it really took a lot the last couple of years just to kind of get back to, you know, and to be honest, I wouldn't say we even got back to where we were before the pandemic. So that all kind of factored into my thinking and where I was in my life. I still wanted to do Moya. I still want to have the business, but on a much smaller, more manageable scale.
Sure.
Lifestyle has changed. I am a grandma. So I actually have three grandsons who are 4, 3, and 6 months.
Wow.
And so I'm also, people might remember from my previous interview, I am a mother of 5 sons. My youngest is in university, he's 21. And then my oldest is turning 32 next in a couple of months. And he's the one that has the 3 boys. So I'm kind of in this stage where my kids are getting married. You know, I still have one at home. And I've always been busy. And
yeah,
so,
sure.
You know, this last few years having to kind of juggle family life and work, and my work involves travel. I would, you know, go to Uganda. I would go to Atlanta where the International Institute for Shea Butter is, and, you know, do training there and things like that. So, yeah, it's having to balance all of that. And now I'm at this stage where I have elderly parents and in-laws who are experiencing some health concerns. Dementia is definitely something that is a new thing in our family, and trying to navigate that, which requires a lot of attention. And then also wanting to be there with the grandkids and be able to have them, you know, be that support for my son and daughter-in-law. If they need a break, Grammy's here.
Yeah, exactly. Now you're wearing a wonderful sweatshirt. So tell us a little bit about your sweatshirt.
Yeah. So I don't know if you can see it well there, but it says,
There we go.
It says, "This Grammy wears her heart on her sleeve." And then on my sleeve here,
you have the boys' names. Isn't that fantastic?
So I have Oliver, Noah, and Simon. This was made by an artisan, so I got it off of Etsy. So I like to support
small
businesses.
For sure. So, you know, I think what's really nice is that you're not totally getting out of the business entirely. You're just recalibrating your business model so that you can balance the lifestyle choices that you have now. Yeah. And also keep your hand in, which I'm sure you probably have quite a substantial list of followers and folks who have been buying your product for a number. How many years now have you been in business?
8 years.
Yeah, which is not for the faint of heart, right?
Exactly. And so what I decided to do is really look at the profitability angle of what was making the most profit for the business and devote my time to that. So what I was finding is obviously when you are wholesaling products, you're giving a discount to that store so that they can then sell it at a retail cost and keep the spread.
Sure.
So by me discounting my product, although there's some volume there, it's not as profitable.
For sure. Yeah.
Then I looked at my international sales. And I would say we got to the point where close to 50% of our business is international. So I supply a lot of American business. So I do, companies that are using us as a raw ingredient to make their products, as well as, you know, just some personal use. But people were buying that in bulk to make it worth their while. So they'll buy it by the kilo instead of the jar. Well, obviously for me, the profit is in the jar, not the bulk, because again, I'm having to offer a discount because of the volume.
Yep.
So what I decided to do was just stick with my retail model instead of the wholesale model. And by getting rid of those international sales. And when I say that I've stopped international sales now, I got a lot of flack. I can tell you the emails. I can show you the emails. I can show you the messages. There was a lot of anger out there. Obviously, when somebody finds a product that really helps with their skin, helps with their family's skin, if they have eczema or any kind of skin condition, to not be able to get that product is devastating.
For sure.
So, I had to do a lot of, you know, follow up and say, you need this product. Right. I am not cutting it off from you entirely. Like, let's work this out. Yeah. So I have a number of clients in the States who have, who will still be getting their Shea from me. But we've worked it out so that, it makes sense for both
of
us.
It's win-win. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, I can't be losing money on the shipping end of it,
for sure.
Which anybody out there in business who's shipping a product knows that shipping is one of our biggest challenges. So I have been spending, the last couple of months, corresponding with the clients and all of my local clients are thrilled that they're still able to get the product. We still supply Cheekbone Beauty and Lip Service Beauty here in Ontario for them to continue making their products. So, you know, we just have gone to more of a scaled back, manageable business for me and still be able to supply the people who need it.
You know, what's really wonderful is I think, you know, when we start out in business, we have these big grandiose ideas about where we'd like to go. And you actually scaled your business in a way that gave you some tangible assets and some results that you could share with other people, hence being able to do it internationally. Mm-hmm. You know, our viewing and listening audience, I'm sure, is sitting back and thinking, well, how on earth do you connect with some of these companies? Did you do it making cold calls? Were you attending trade shows and people approached you? Or was it connections that you had with the raw material in Uganda that started to give you some of those connections? How were you able to expand the business?
Check, check, check. All of the above. Yeah, really, when I started, I was so naive when I started. Like, it's laughable. Like, I did not have any business experience. I was a librarian for 17 years.
I was just going to say you were in the education field. So
yes.
Kudos to you for making that transition.
I raised my boys at a library. So I was working. They would come from school and go to the library, do their homework till I was finished work, and then bring them home. Right. So it was not in my
comfort zone, for sure,
to have a business.
Yeah.
What had happened for me is I became very passionate about fair trade. I had been working as a volunteer to take groups of students in grade 11 and take them to a small community in Ekbalam, Mexico, where we learned about global literacy and just global issues. Taught them history, why developing countries were in the position that they were in. And ultimately, it's because of the decisions in the first world and how that directly affects these developing nations. So we learned, you know, I was learning so much from this experience, things that I was not taught in high school. And I became very passionate about fair trade because to me, it was something that was very tangible. Right. It was something that made so much sense. Pay someone fairly for their work.
Right.
Equitable, you know, funds, make sure that children are not working, that they have the opportunity and access to education, that they're not in fields, that they're not in factories. These were just common sense things. Mm-hmm. But that's not how the world works. Mm-hmm. And business, especially as you get into business and the further you get into business, especially if you have any type of product-based business, you will see just how devastating it is. You know, in the clothing industry, workers are paid 11 cents an hour. So garment workers in Bangladesh, they're living in misery, not poverty, misery. Mm-hmm. And companies like to pay a few extra cents to get them out of misery and into poverty.
Sure.
But they don't. And so when I was learning these kinds of things, I just knew that any business I wanted to do would have those basic foundations. But again, I wasn't thinking business. I was a volunteer. I was looking at helping to highlight fair trade. I, in my community, started a fashion show. So the high school students would be the models. And on a Friday night, we would pack the gym with, we had 250 people would show up on a Friday night and we would have a fashion show. And it was all fair trade or thrifted clothing. And really tried to get the students involved so that they, you know, just change that mindset that sure. Thrifting was cool.
Yeah, it is now. That's for sure.
It is now.
Right?
We're talking 8, 9, 10 years ago.
That's right.
When this was just kind of starting.
Right.
And so I started very simply doing things in my community, making personal choices of switching my teas and coffees to fair trade,
right.
Encouraging that when I had guests, you know, talking about why I was serving them this, and just being more conscious as a consumer.
Sure.
And then I developed skin cancer. I had melanoma and I've always had problematic skin. So anything I put on my skin, I always react to. So when I was recovering from my surgery, I had a very large scar on my leg and they gave me a vitamin E cream and it burned. It was so bad. And I was looking like, what can I put on my skin? What can I put on my skin? And a friend of mine who I knew through fair trade, who had a fair trade business, said, you know, I know these missionaries and they were in Uganda and they have come back to Oakville. They have their church in Oakville and they have brought this shea butter. You should try it. So of course I tried it and it was the only thing I put on my skin. It was amazing.
Yeah.
So I said to them, hey, I want to help you. Like, I'm going to bring this to my community. I'll put it in our fair trade coffee shop that's in town and we'll support it. We'll tell people all about it. And they were like, great. That's wonderful. So I started doing that. But then that little voice in my head kept saying, wait a minute, what are the women being paid? Is it fair trade? Is it, you know, are there children in the workforce? Do they have access to education? What's going on in the community? How are you giving back? And so I went to the missionaries with these questions and they're like, you know, we're looking at trying to find somebody to do this. And, you know, this isn't something we want to do.
Right.
It sounds like you're asking all the right questions. We've started a little bit of that, but we really haven't gone down that line yet. So listen, we've got the basics, we've got the bones, we've got, you know, the contacts for you. Why don't you take this over? And I very, very naively said, yeah, sure.
Okay. Easy peasy.
Yeah, that sounds like a great idea. And in my head, and I will be 100% honest, in my head, I had no desire to go to Uganda. Not once on my radar did I ever see myself going to Uganda.
Getting on a plane and going there. Yeah.
Like, I'm a little country girl. I was born and raised in Burlington, but I've been 30 years in the country and I love traveling, but I also at that point loved being safe.
Right.
Like, I loved the feeling of being safe.
For sure.
So everywhere I traveled, I always had this level of safety. Mm-hmm. And you know, I laugh at it now because I have been in some places. I've been in, you know, Nicaragua. I've been in Uganda. I have peed in holes. I have, you know, I have
done all the things you never thought you'd do.
My hand. I have, you know, I have had barbed wire outside of my room. This was not something I thought I would be doing. So when I said yes, I had it in my head. We are an advanced technological society. I can do all of this on the internet.
Remote, yeah. I can do it all remote.
I can do it remotely. I can call it in. But then where would your values, you know, where's your integrity in that, right? Yeah. So as I started doing this, I'm like, who's to say that this is exactly like this? They're telling me one thing. I'm telling them one thing. Sure. How do I know?
Sure.
So yeah. So there,
you know what I love is that you actually, your experience opened so many other doors for you personally and professionally, because personally you stepped outside your comfort zone and you really embraced the whole idea of fair trade.
Yes.
And then from a business point of view, you actually grew with your business.
Mm-hmm.
So as the opportunities presented themselves, you would have found people who had helped you along the way to perhaps, you know, share some knowledge. So, you know, one of the things that we do in our platform is we talk about mentorship. So was there someone, or other than the missionaries who sort of got the whole thing started, was there various different people along your journey in the past 8 years that mentored you to give you the confidence to expand your business to the place Absolutely. Where it was?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that in those early days, it was my friend Susie who connected me with the missionaries.
Sure.
Because she already had a very strong fair trade business. Her business was called Casa Relief at the time. She is now retired as well. And her son has taken over part of the business. It's now called Little Fish Creations. So they had worked with people in Nicaragua, Ecuador, Guatemala, and they bring fair trade clothing and household items and would sell that. And she was a great mentor to me, really encouraging me to get those values down and sure. hold to them. And then I've had, you know, many people who have been there to answer questions. Sometimes I do find that it's very challenging. It's hard to ask for help, and it's so also true. Hard to find the right help. Yep. And so a lot of it is, you know, networking and trial mm-hmm. by error. And mm-hmm. I remember being in small little like networking events that didn't really at the time I was thinking like, I don't know if this is even going to be helpful, but sure. I'll go.
Yeah.
And I remember meeting my now friend, Krista Jefferson, who runs Just One, which is also a fair trade jewelry company. And she works with a village that's an hour and a half south of the village I work with.
Isn't that cool?
And I'm like, and she's from Caledonia and I'm in Lowbank. So it's like, you know, 45, 50 minute drive. So all of a sudden, you know, this little meeting.
Serendipity.
Yeah. We were able to, you know, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're a Gulu. I'm in Badero.
Isn't that great?
Yeah. And kind of bounce things off of each other. And so we've been able to help each other out with like shipping issues and, you know, what companies to use for shipping. Sure. And, sure.
It's a collaboration piece.
It is. Right? Yeah. It's great. And, you know, there was a point where I wasn't able to go to Uganda because, again, you have to really balance. Do I want to spend that money?
Sure.
Or do I want to put that money towards product?
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
And she was going. And so I was able to pay her and a driver to go and
do some
inspections and some photography and you know, fantastic. Just get some of that, those connections and stuff. So, you know, you never know who you're going to meet at these events and so how true. It can help you in the future. But and a lot of times it can feel lonely because you're mm-hmm. doing this, and for me particularly, I'm doing business differently.
Sure. For sure.
So I've met a lot of wonderful people who have got great businesses, but they're not doing business the way I am. So they don't understand my specific challenges when sure. I say, well, we can't go cheap packaging because right. it's not environmentally friendly.
Sure.
So that was a challenge for me in the beginning. I also was learning. So when I first started, we had it in black plastic. It was great because it was cheap and I could get it. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Well, then I discovered that Toronto and most major cities, Kitchener, things like that, will not recycle black plastic.
Oh, so then it wasn't so environmentally friendly.
It was zero environmentally
friendly. Yeah.
So we had to completely
recalibrate.
Completely scrap that. And we went to glass jars that were recyclable. But we have to have frosted because the light can affect
the product,
the shea butter.
Yeah.
Light and heat. So again, we had to look for that. So now we've literally went from, you know, a very cheap packaging to mm-hmm. a very expensive packaging.
Right. Right.
And that all affects the bottom line. But people, sure. As they're giving you advice, you know, they're looking at trying to help you get the cheapest solution. But if that doesn't
meet your values, overall objective. Yeah. Yeah.
Then, for sure. You know, same with, we had, lip balms, excuse me. And our lip balms were in plastic. Like most lip balms are in plastic containers. Mm-hmm. And so we really felt like this wasn't serving our values and the type of client that we were wanting to attract.
Sure.
So we went to compostable cardboard tubes. But again, you go to something that like a tube at, you know, back in the day was maybe like 20 cents. Mm-hmm. And now you're looking at over a dollar.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So well, that all affects the bottom line when you're talking about a lip balm tube that's
not going to retail for that high. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, what I love, Debbie, is that you've kind of come full circle, right? Mm-hmm. You've had an opportunity to start a business. You've learned a great deal. And from the learnings that you have and now the lifestyle choices that you've made, you're able to recalibrate your business so that it's win-win for family and win-win for your customers, yes, and obviously still serving the local community. So yes, congratulations to you on being able to find a way. And that's all about entrepreneurship, right? We find ways to do things that meet all of our individual needs. So congratulations to you for being able to find that sort of special solution that helps all of your strategic partners continue to thrive. So kudos to you. Now, one of the things that we do in the guest blog, and I know you shared these three words of advice quite some time ago, and they are passion, commitment, and deliver. So maybe you can wrap up our conversation and give our viewing and listening audience, is there any of those words that you would change?
Well, yes, I think so. First of all, passion will never change for me. If you don't have passion in what you're doing, you know, what's the point, really? And especially when my business is such a labor of love, you know, and there's, and it affects so many people, you know, especially our farmers and people in Uganda. So passion is a big one for me. I'm not changing that one.
Right.
And deliver is still very important to me, because without customer service, without, you know, being able to deliver on your values and your word, I don't think you have what it takes to be a business person if you're not willing to back that up.
Sure.
So I wouldn't change that either. Commitment, just at where I'm at, I still have commitment, but I think you need to have flexibility. For me, just being able to have that flexibility to say, okay, this isn't working, let's pivot and do this.
Right.
Or this is working, but we could tweak it here. Maybe it's okay to slow down. I took an entire month off. I took all of January off. I knew the decision was coming. I, you know, had kind of made it, but not announced it. So I was preparing for that. And I took January, because that typically is the slowest month of the year, right after the Christmas rush. Sure. So I, you know, took care of everything and I took all of January off. And that was so needed and just helped me to get that clarity. And having that flexibility, giving myself that time was so necessary. And it was needed, because when I made the announcements, there was a lot of panic buying.
Sure.
I actually was more in demand in February and March than in previous years. I think actually if I go back and look at it, we've had one of our best Februaries.
Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Well, you know, we certainly wish you continued success, and I truly appreciate the candor and coming back on the show and really sharing that, you know what, it really is okay to recalibrate your business based on lifestyle, you know, economic conditions, all of the factors that make us who we are as business owners. And I really appreciate the fact that you've shared all of that with our viewing and listening audience, and you're really ready to start a new chapter. So congratulations. Yeah,
I really am. And you know, if your business isn't working for you, who is it working for? So to me, you know, the whole point of getting into business for yourself is to have a little bit of that control. Yeah. And I think that me being able to set up my schedule now where I can take these blocks of times and, you know, spend with my aging parents and spend with my grandkids and, you know, be here for my family and my husband. And it's so important. And there is a sacrifice to that. Obviously, you know, you're managing money and time. But I think especially these last 4 years has taught us that our time is very valuable.
For sure.
And for me, family has always been first priority. So just made the most sense that this is the stage of life that I'm in, and I'm embracing it fully.
Well, I'm going to challenge you that in another year, I'm going to reach out to you and we'll get you back onto the show and get you to share how the recalibrating of your business has worked out. So thank you so much for sharing what you have with us. And I certainly look forward to just keeping in touch.
Always a pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much, Debbie. And to our viewing and listening audience, I'd like to thank you for joining us today for this edition of Keeping It Real. where we were reintroducing you to the person behind the logo. If you'd like to connect with our guest, you'll find Debbie's contact information in the description portion below. I'm Trish Tonai, founder and host for the series. And if you're interested in sharing your business story, visit our website at shareyourstories.online and subscribe to our channel, Business Mentorship, Keeping It Real. Thanks again for tuning in, and we look forward to meeting you next time when we share another great idea.